11:24 says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another one withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters himself will be watered. So this is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I just took those two scriptures, two verses out of this text here. And if I was to keep reading, it repeats itself in different forms. But it's about being a blessing, about being watered, watering, and all those things. So open up your heart and your mind and your spirit and let God work here. The first two words here in this text in 11:24 is one gives. So if we're going to be like Christ, we have to be a giver. Now, what I want you to do is just eliminate money for just a second. Don't even let it be about money. Just we'll pray for the offering at the end here. So what I want you to do is just learn and just close your eyes for just a second. Think about this. What would happen if we had more people in the world who were givers? And again, just forget about the money. Just eliminate that from your mind. Just givers, and then I'll mention a few things, time or talent or just some love or some visits, a high five, a handshake, or whatever it is. All right, open up your eyes for just a second. That's quite contrary to those who are takers. Takers appear to be, you know, always disgruntled. What have you done for me? That kind of attitude just really doesn't coincide or go along with God's plan for mankind. Would you agree? And it's definitely not a characteristic of Christ to be a taker. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking something that somebody has given to you as a blessing, but don't ever walk in some place or go somewhere and think that someone owes you something. I'll see you next week. All right, am I helping you at all? I'm not even about that life. Just always, and maybe you've kind of fallen into the trap where you've been around family members or friends and they think that, you know, somebody owes you something or you ought to, you know, whatever. Here's the deal in America, guys, in being in God's church, you guys got the best opportunity in the whole wide world to do whatever it is you want to do. Amen. So I pray that you apply this to your life and then watch what happens. So since we're in the series and talking about watering and it's in April and you're seeing all the grass grow and the lawnmowers and everything, don't you wish that, or don't you pray that lawnmowers start easier? I'm like, man, I'm throwing my shoulder out on this thing. Then you push it back in the shed and go, let's hire somebody. So, growing's a good thing. We want it to grow. And isn't that weird? And I'll just say this, because we don't like really cutting grass because it stinks. And the lawnmower and all that stuff is just so... But we water it, seed it, and then put fertilizer on it so we can cut it. And I know you want to concrete it all, and praise God. But being a giver is far contrary to what the world's view is. So let's go on a little bit. So here's the next word. Say this with me. It's the third word. It says what? Freely. No, say it like you were going to do it freely.
Freely.
Everything you and I do don't need to be begrudgingly. Whether giving her time and all this kind of stuff, I want to do it freely. I want to bless people. I want to be out there. I want to help you and help others and everything. And if you're not doing it freely, you're not going to get blessed. And if you're not doing it freely, you're probably spiritually constipated. That's a biblical term. Or you could be spiritually dehydrated. Maybe you're not allowing the living water to flow through you. So God knows the people. If he can bring it to you, he'll bring it through you. So the people that are staying enriched and they're allowing the living water to flow through them, they're doing something with what God has already given them. And again, it's not just about finances, and we'll talk about that here in just a second. So let's pretend that this is a $20 bill. So in my hand, that's all it'll ever be. But when I release it into the hand of the man from Galilee, it can be all kinds of things. It can be a blessing to, you know, pro-life organization and all these different things. And we don't have to get into, you know what I'm talking about. So when you sow into God's kingdom, whether it's through Have Bible or whatever, we're replanting and repurposing that gift and watering something someone else is doing. Watch this. In Christ's name. Amen. We'll never reinvest that money back into the world, but into the kingdom of God, because we want God's kingdom to expand. Amen? So, it says, yet grows all the richer, and another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. And we know those people who are afraid to ever give anything because they're afraid they're going to run out. I was talking to a brother who was in my small group at the men's retreat, and he kind of got on board with the tithing concept. He's been a member for a while. He's a great guy. He's a helper and everything. He said, you know, and he just kind of brought this up in the middle of our conversation. I don't know what led to it, but he said, you know, I used to give when the plate would come by, and I would kind of like tip God. He said, I'd throw a 5 or a 10 in, and I thought pretty good of myself. I thought I was doing good until I grasped the concept that he was going to open the windows of heaven and rain down on me a blessing that I wouldn't be able to take it in all. He said, and it just kind of was gradually a natural ebb and flow because he got his heart right with God. Not. Don't get your heart right with people. Get your heart right with God and end up being a free giver. Amen? All right, so let's read the second verse here. It says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched. And let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. And who will himself? So when you're watering somebody else's dream, you yourself, God says that I'll water you too. So, and that's anything. Be on board with, you know, with whatever somebody's doing. And I'll save that for the message because there's a lot in that. But just kind of, well, here's what I'll say. I'll just kind of give you a sneak preview. Be excited about someone else's victory. Be excited about that. Amen. And we'll expound on that in the message. Let's pray. We'll just pray for the offering. We've got a quick video that's really good. It's really, really good. Lord, we just want to be waterers, and we're over being coddled like infants. We're over being babied. We're over looking for someone to take care of us. We know that government will never take care of all of our needs. They'll leave us parched and spiritually dehydrated. A man-made Babylonian principle or system is designed to fail. So we entrust only in you and your kingdom. And pray that it rains down on all these wonderful people that are here and then on the broadcast. And bless those hands that give today at this church. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 So applaud the Lord. Let the basket come by. Roll the video. We're talking about water in here.
You know, much of the Bible lands is desert. Water is extremely important. Wells are important. And in Samaria, at the foot of two mountains, was Jacob's well that Jacob had dug. There's not only water that you drink for your physical needs, but there's spiritual water. Jesus said, I am the water of life. Jeremiah said, for my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. In a number of places, the Bible refers to people who have no spiritual water. Ye shall be as the garden that hath no water, says Isaiah, the first chapter. In Zechariah, it says, prisoners of the pit.
let's expound on that a little bit from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn there with me if you would. And I'm going to pray for it just right where you're at. Lord, we just pray that from the words of the Apostle Paul and from some of the things that Billy Graham has said there in that short clip, we recognize without your living water, we're just parched deserts that long to be quenched. Lord, bless your people this morning with this living water and let them thirst no more. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read these nine verses. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, talking about watering and the benefits of it. So think about this text when I'm reading it and think about the way it is written. And so we're only three chapters into this book, and obviously there's two books for a reason. Laurel, they had a hard time following direction.
Right.
The Apostle Paul was really drilling down on these guys. They acted like babies. They wanted to be recognized, and they're yelling and doing spiritual gifts, and I'm better than you, and all this kind of stuff, and my gift's better than your gift, and all this craziness. If you read this book, the theme just runs through, and really what it boils down to, the problem with Corinthians, the Corinthian church, was self. There was just too much self in the church. There was too much of their own ideology. There was too much jealousy. There was too much of having these little divisions in this church. So that it was a fractured church with a worldly mindset. Everyone was wanting to be recognized. So let's read these verses and then go back and talk about them, because there is a load of stuff in here. So 3:1 in 1 Corinthians, here it is. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you are not ready for it, and even now you are not ready. For you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, the other one follows Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord has assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. That'd be a good place to underline if you're a note taker. And when you refer back to this, you'll remember how God spoke to you maybe today. Amen? It says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. Just hold your finger out just like this. I did this last night. He who plants and he who waters are one. Just we're one. We're not two. We're not three. We're not like different. Not just different. You know, it's the musicians and then it's this guy. No. Stop for a second. We're all one. We're all one. Under the body of Christ, where the ground's level at the foot of the cross, and there's no hierarchy, there's no little clicker club where it's this group and then that group, and they're better than you, and they're more anointed than you, and all that. That's a bunch of bull hockey. No one wants to be around somebody that's like that, that their nose is up in the air, and they, well, I'm above all that, you know, well. Whatever. I was going to say something. But who wants to be around that? I don't.
Amen.
You know, we don't need your resume. You're not, you know, the know-it-all.
Right.
And the church doesn't need another know-it-all, I'll say.
Amen.
We don't need another know-it-all. Yep. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. There's another one to underline. That's very important there. And don't be a laborer to get wages. Be a laborer, Bertley, because that's what you like to do.
Right.
Say this to your neighbor. It's not a problem. I don't mind going out and working. I don't mind helping somebody. You got a problem, I'll help you. I don't want nothing for it. You don't need to strike up the band. You don't need to do a photo op. You don't need to put me on Facebook. Did you get me while I was praying? Gag me with a jackhammer. Really? That's what this is, the Western world come to where you need to take a picture while I'm praying for somebody? You need to take a picture of me. They always do that when I'm there. They're like, Pastor, we're going to get you in. I'm in pictures all the time. I don't need to be in a picture. I want to be the person that's taking a picture.
Amen.
Oh, my. What we need is some humble servants of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's read the last verse and then we'll start talking about what we came for. I'm really, really excited. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one receives his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. So this is the word of the Lord. Amen. So I told the men, I didn't speak at this retreat. There was other guys that spoke, and actually we chose guys that haven't spoke before just to kind of get them going, and they did a wonderful job. And we'll talk about some of that stuff as it went on. And then, so when I got for my small group, I just wanted to tell all the guys that were there, I said, I just want to say one thing to you. God doesn't bless disobedience. And I know I say that all the time, but there are people that think God's going to bless some kind of disobedience. Our job is to be obedient. And remember, after that, the success that you get will come from the Lord because you've been obedient. And I said that so I could have a segue, and I asked if everybody saved and talked about this and talked about that. And then I asked if everybody was baptized. And there was a couple of people that weren't baptized, and they said, we're going to get baptized. And one guy said, I'm ready to get baptized today. And I was like, giddy up, brother. Let me pull over my John Deere tractor, blow a little diesel smoke out the stack,
amen,
and go down to the river and hook up a trailer. And we took all the guys with us. No permits, no purified bottled water, no heated tubs.
Amen.
Watch this, class. Just a good old-fashioned baptism. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Tell him not to get mad right now because I said something about my diesel truck. They're like, does he really know? Here's the deal, guys. When it's time to get obedient, quit making excuses why you're not. You're either obedient or you're not. That's all I can tell you. When you leave church, you find out what it is out there that you can do. God wants you to get out there and do his bidding. He's called you to be his hands and feet, to go do the Great Commission. So here's what the Apostle Paul says to this church. And buddy, I'm going to tell you. He said, I couldn't address you as spiritual people. Wow. That's kind of a punch in the kisser, isn't it? He said, I'd like to talk to you, Jeremiah, as spiritual people and as brothers and sisters in Christ. But I can't because you, what does he say? Because you are as infants in Christ. Now, there are infants in Christ when they get born again. They can be babes in Christ, and we walk with them, we talk with them, we help them, we pray with them. I make sure my staff is following up with them, and they're gotten Bibles and all this kind of stuff. It's very, very, very important to me that the babes in Christ grow and end up being warriors for the Lord. No different than the way you would take care of an infant. You would hope that they would grow up to be prosperous people in our communities. Amen?
Amen.
Let's talk about the infants or the babes in Christ. We don't want them to stay infants in Christ any longer than you want your child living in your basement. Just tell, just say move along, and you don't even know who you're talking about. Just do this with me. You gotta go. Gotta move along.
Don't look up here. Don't look around. Gotta move along. That's the way we are in Christ. And it's okay if the kids got to come back and they got to reschedule and all that. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't want them to stay there. I mean, my kids are grown and gone, and I want them to do well, but they don't need to stay there. We need them to move along. And that's why you send your grandkids home after they've been there for 2 days. You just send them home and go, here, remember that they're yours. Me and Mom we're grown, and we want to do something else. They're cute for a while, let's admit it. But after you pinch the cheek a few times, we got to go on. Paul's saying this to these guys. And he said, you guys are infants in Christ. Let's see what he says. He expounds on that. Oh, now he's getting into their food. I fed you milk, not solid food. And you know what solid food, he's talking about the meat in the word and the meat and the things we're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be going on and blessing others and not, you know, really, you know, being a bad shiner, you know, being, you know, talking about yourself all the time. He said, I couldn't even feed you anything other than milk. So I related it to this. So if you are my age, you remember when Gerber food came in a glass jar and it had a metal top. And if it was there too long, it had rust on it. And that's what's wrong with you right now. But amen. And I like the progression of parenthood. Remember how you had your first child? Like, when you'd always start them out like on applesauce. And you go, oh, we probably ought to warm it up because Junior, the doctor told me to warm it up. And then by the time you get to your third or fourth child, you're like, man, it's been in the diaper bag for a while. Let him have it. You don't even need a spoon. Remember then? And, oh, you got to make sure that the spoon's coated because we don't want him to chip his teeth. And you're wondering, should I eat this food? You know, when you're feeding, you're like, man, I wonder what it tastes like. You kind of like... You take a bite of it, you know you do. But then when they graduate to the pureed peas, you know you shouldn't be eating that. I mean, let's just be honest, that's just gross. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He said, you're still on purified peas. He said, I can't even address you as grown-ups. He said, you're still on purified peas. He said, I'm trying to get you to grow up in Christ. That's what Christ is trying to do to you and I today. And we're kind of talking about being a waterer today, so that's kind of where we're going to stay. He says, for you are not ready for it. And even now, you are not ready. You are still of the flesh. So we had this men's retreat, and we're out there, and we're doing all kinds of stuff, and we're riding horses one day, and we're shooting trap the other day. And then we had a young guy that came in, a great guy, just a young kid, and he wasn't sure what to expect. You know, he's young, he's only like 22, and we're all kind of sitting around there. We're already hovered around the ribeyes. So, I mean, these guys were guarding this stuff. I mean, they were kind of like, and if somebody else came in the barn, we're like, it's over there. Now you gotta have the setting here and know that the guys that are sitting there in the barn eating the ribeyes are kind of guys that don't cut the fat off before they eat it.
Me and honest, you're like, don't cut that off. Are you done with that? And this kid walks in and we're like, ah, we all look at him. He's like, ah.
And I said, and you know, we did this and did that. I said, and tomorrow we're going to shoot trap. He said, I've never shot a shotgun before. And I was like, well, you can't be a member here, so leave. but after he went up and hit a clay bird, he smiled and I gave his membership back. No, I'm just kidding. Here's the deal. Once he got there, I so wanted to water whatever was going on in his life.
And he was, you know, he wasn't sure how to fit in. And I said, man, if somebody's sitting in your chair, I said, go jerk him out of the chair and let him know you're sitting in my chair. He's like, I don't know. I don't think how to do that. I was just kind of funning with him, trying to break the ice. But if you will get up and water somebody else's deal, he left with a smile. I mean, like his ride was leaving. They're down there at the barn hogging. Let's go. And I go, hey, shoot it one more. And he's like, yeah. Michael Tucker said, I'm going to leave you. So he went from being shy and didn't know if he fit in to fitting in. That's all I'm talking about, whatever it is you're doing. He learned how to fit in because the guys around him learned how to love him where he's at. That's the kind of church we are, is helping people where they're at and watering what they got going on in their life. All you got to do, he proved it, all you got to do is show up. You don't need to know anything. And I'll tell you one more story about this kid. And as it, you know, up at the farm, at night, it gets pretty dang cold. And I think it got down like into the 40s. And I can't hear or see anything from my bedroom in my king-size bed. I'm just like, I'm snoring. Everybody's like, hey, Pastor, aren't you worried about where everybody's sleeping? I go, no, not really. This is a guy's retreat. And then I got out, and they said, hey, man, you know, Matthew slept here in a chair in the barn. I was like, all right, man. I said, I can get down with a guy like that. So he learned how to adapt because he felt comfortable with the guys he were with were showing him love. Amen. And all he brought was himself. Amen. That just shows you. And then he looked at me, he goes, man, I'm coming to the fall retreat too. So here's the deal. Whatever's going on in somebody else's life that you know or love, go water their seed and watch it grow before your eyes. The Apostle Paul says this, I fed you milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while, say this with me, for while there is, one more time, there is what? Don't get mad if somebody's got a new motorcycle out there and you're blessing it. Sometimes, not you guys, but sometimes people get mad because somebody's got something new. I'm happy you got something new. I'm out there praying for it, blessing it, asking God to bless it. We did it in Moscow. We did it over here. And I kind of do this funny thing, you know. And I said, well, you guys got all the nice stuff because my bike's old. I got 130,000 miles on it. And oh, yeah. So Gary Harden had his son there, one of his sons there, and he said, man, is Pastor Pat really jealous? He said, no, he's just having fun with you. But I really enjoy seeing other people doing really well. I love that. If you pull in with a hot rod or a new motorcycle and it's a Harley Davidson, it's fine. That's fine, too. I made that joke, too. So just having fun, though. But I want you to know that you're in a church that wants to water what somebody else has got going in their life. Amen? So let's keep that theme and then remember this as we go through here. So there's jealousy and strife. Jealousy and strife. Wait, jealousy and strife. Really? Are we that caught up in self that we can't celebrate what somebody else has got? And maybe they send you a Facebook picture of a, you know, new something like this. Get comment, thumbs up, or good job, or man, I'm glad your child's graduated, or what all, you know, all that kind of stuff. Amen? Amen. Get involved with that and be happy about that. And then he starts talking about these guys here coming up. He says, is there jealousy and strife among you? Are you not of the flesh and only behaving in a human way? For one says, I follow Paul. Another one says, I follow Apollos. Are you not merely human? He's saying that there was divisions in the church because they liked one guy better than they liked another. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that if that's what you really like. But don't let it cause strife in your life. Amen. Don't let it cause strife in the church. Amen. Don't let it divide the church because you go, well, I like him more than I like him or whatever, or I don't like them, or I don't like sitting over there, and I don't sit, you know, all this kind of stuff like that. What you're doing is you're getting distracted from what God's trying to do in your life. What God is doing right now today is wanting to water what you got going on in your life so you can water somebody else's stuff. So listen to the conclusion here in this message. He says, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? What does he say? And it's capitalized, servants through him who you believed. So the chief thing that's going on here is he's recognizing that these guys are here to serve. That's our job, is to be here to serve Christ by serving others. Amen? And you'll have to do that from a humble position, not begrudgingly. Oh, I got to go do this. No, you get to work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? I get the opportunity. I get to sing. I get to clean. I get to whatever it is, whatever ministry it is in your life. Rise up with me. I just got three verses, and I want to bring this home for somebody that's watching here. Listen to this. So he said servants, and it's capitalized. As the Lord has assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So we know if something's really going to grow in our life, we have to have God's hands on it. That's right. God's hands got to be on it, not another person or a kingdom. Or sometimes we think that the government's got to be involved in order for this thing to work. No, we don't. Christians don't have two kings; they have one king. They have one king. We don't have two kings. We don't bow to anybody else. And one of the guys that spoke was a guy named Jason Hugg. He joined our church. He'd come down from Iowa. Drove all the way from Iowa to come down there to be with us. Amen. Great guy. He's a member of this church. And he gave the story about Daniel. You guys know the story, Daniel. And there's many parts of the story of Daniel. And he said, hey, listen, he said, you know, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, wanted everybody to bow down to the statue. And then we want you to eat government food. And then what we want you to do is they wanted to change their names. Grendel, we want you to fall lockstep into this governmental system. We want you to bow down when we tell you to bow down. We want you to eat this food. And Daniel never did fall into that. He was like, you know what, man, I'm not doing that. He said, I don't have two kings. He said, I only got one king. And they forbid you to worship your God. What the heck? So if they're telling you how to talk and they renamed you and they're giving you the government food, you're falling right in line with them conditioning you. Here's the deal. The only one who can make something grow in your life isn't government, is God. And if you're waiting for somebody to rescue out of despair in the United States of America, it ain't going to be the government, it's going to be God. Don't get mad. And I know you're kind of going, oh, shucky darns, we thought they were going to come and help us out. Let me break the bad news to you. The only one that's coming back is Jesus. So I think we ought to spend more time watering the things in God's kingdom. Amen. And here's what he says in the end here. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Each one of you guys has a ministry in your life. And your ministry don't have to look like his over here. And I know everybody thinks that, well, you ought to, pastor, here's what, pastor, say it with me. with me. Pastor, here's what you ought to do. And then they give me a course of what I ought to do. And I go, man, I'm glad that you said that. And they may say the same to you. Here's what you ought to do. Here's what you ought to do in your ministry, Barrett. Here's what you ought to do. My response is, pop a Tic Tac and back up. They say the same thing all day. Are you? No. Let me guess, it's going to be about your XYZ, right? I mean, it's always the same story. These people are spiritually constipated and spiritually dehydrated. They have nothing to give. All they have is they want to get. And that's fine. We need to pray for them people. But the people we're going to surround ourselves are around people who want to water something else in somebody else's life. And because you do that, God said you're going to receive wages. Does that mean you're going to get money? Not necessarily. You could. Remember that he blesses obedience and can't bless disobedience. It's just a fact. And then when you see a brother on the come up or a sister on the come up and she finally gets that new husband, don't cut him down. Don't cut her down. Or vice versa. If that guy finally got the woman of his dream, don't cut her down. Don't cut him down. They finally got to the place where they want to be, where that person, lift them up in the name of Jesus. And when their kids are doing good, lift them up in the name of Jesus. Praise God they're doing good. Praise God they're not hooked on drugs anymore. I'm glad for you. I'm glad that your family's doing better. I'm glad that you're... I'm not going to get into the long email, but I'll make it short because it was sent. I got into my tractor Friday morning, Bruce, and I got a long email that one of my staffers fielded. And it got sent to me, and I shared it with some of the guys, and actually Randy the barber read it to the whole group. I couldn't do it without bawling. And it was a guy who'd been praying for me for 15 years. He said, do you know, back in the day, he said, I would drive by your house, even when I had family members in my car, and I would stretch my hand out to the front door of your house. He said, I have to say beyond a shadow of doubt, you were the meanest guy I've ever met in my life. And he's a pastor. He said, God, why do you want me to pray for him in his house every time I drive by? And he said, I know what God told me. He said, if that guy there can be saved, he will lead many people to Jesus. He said, I was even willing to compromise my health to witness to you. And that's a small snippet of the multi pages that he sent me. Is the timing irony? I don't think so. So here's the moral of that story. That guy was watering my seed when I was in my before life. And maybe you have the same situation with a family member. And you always come back. I don't know if they're ever going to come to Jesus.
Everybody says the same. I don't know.
I don't know if God can fix this situation.
Let me tell you something. If God can fix me, He can fix any of you guys in the snap of a finger. And He can fix your situation. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Let's just do this together because I want to get on board with whatever it is you're wanting to water in your family or your. Maybe you drive by that person's house and you put your hand and go, man, I hope one day they get saved. Mr. Cope, Mrs. Cope, you're probably praying that for kids. Maybe them and the Arnts and the Lupkes have all been in this church for 30 and 40 years praying for everybody who walks through the door. What a bunch of humble servants they have been. They're not at the front. They're not in the pulpit. But they're in the most important places in this church. It's in the prayer closet. That's where lives get changed, in the prayer closet. So if that's you today and you have a person that you're praying for, and you say, man, I want them to come to the Lord, or I want to water their seed. I hope that they grow in Christ. I hope that they get off the addiction. I hope that they get over their social anxiety. And I hope they get over their mental anguish and the disease and all this kind of stuff. Or I want to pray for them because they're going through. I've been praying for a couple of ladies in this church who have gone through breast cancer. I want them healed in the name of Jesus. I want their life to go well. You don't have to know them, Bruce. You don't have to know these people. I just want to pray for people because I want to see them doing good. That's what this church is about. I just want to see them do it. And you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to agree with their life or their ministry or anything else. You just say, you know what? They're your children. I want them to do good. And praise God. And when they celebrate, go praise God. I'm glad you're celebrating. Today we're going to get over ourselves. Tell your neighbor, get over yourself. Go on, do it. Go over yourself. Woo! A little saucy there. Hey, you unplugged my Xbox right there. Just, let's pray. And if that's you, just make your way down if you want to be a waterer. Just a water. I don't know if you'll ever make the front page of the news or anything like that. I don't know if you'll ever be famous, but you will be in God's eye. I want to be a water. Man, that's a great job to be a water. You know, when you walk up, you might be watering somebody's seed that you got their hand on their shoulder. They may have drove to church and go, I don't feel like anybody loves me. And when your hand touched that shoulder, they go, I'm in the right place. I had a brother that's down here at the altar came up to me today and he said, yeah, I want you to know you've changed my life. But here's the deal, Don. I didn't change anybody's life. What we need to do is, I told the men this in church, get in front of a mirror and look at yourself and do inventory, Mrs. Chittenden. I knew that there was nothing inside of me that was good and I could get to heaven. You have to examine self. Go, there's nothing in here that's good enough to get into glory, because you know who you really are. You know who you are when you get in front of the mirror, Rob. You know that, man. You go, man, there ain't nothing good in me. Until Jesus takes up residence. Wow, what a powerful story that is. A sinner into a saint. Prostitutes end up sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen. I wish somebody would get happy in this church right now. No, nobody needs to judge. You don't know where I've been. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what's going on in my world. Let's get watered today. Father God, I want to pray for these people here. They are here and thirsty. Tell the world I'm a reservoir for God. All I'm doing is watering stuff. Everywhere I go,
Every place that you guys go, the property value ought to go up. It just went up because I came on and I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm watering stuff. I'm laying hands on people. Dreams are coming true. People are getting healed. Addictions are getting gone. And my family's getting happy. Father, I pray today that you show yourself to this group. We've got a lot of salty people in this church, Lord, that really love water and seed. I'm happy I'm here, Lord. I'm happy I'm in church today. I'm happy that I'm in your presence. I'm happy that I'm a child of yours. I'm happy I'm going to heaven when I die. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm just so dang happy. I can't stand it. You know what? We ought to get so happy that we need to hire people to help us enjoy it. We got so much. I'm just going to hire you to pal around with me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I got happiness just flowing. I got the joy of Jesus flowing out of me. Tell your neighbor to look out. I got a lot of joy. A lot of joy in me. I just like being joyful. So Lord God, bless them today as they enjoy your sunshine, as they enjoy 80 degrees in America. And God's people said amen. Applaud them like you're saved. Hi, hi.